The Latin America Report is made possible by MBAF, CPAs and advisors.
From the WLRN newsroom, I'm Tim Padgett. This is the first report of our three-part series, Escape from Venezuela. This is what the Venezuelan refugee crisis sounds like. Thousands of destitute and hungry Venezuelan migrants pounding on gates at humanitarian relief stations in the Colombian border city of Cúcuta. Inside the Roman Catholic Scalabrini Church Mission, the UN's World Food Program is signing up as many Venezuelans as it can for food stamp benefits. But the waiting crowd outside is simply too large and chaotic. An elderly woman faints in the mid-afternoon heat and is brought inside to sit down. Scalabrini mission worker Gladys Garavito fans her.
No creíamos que esto iba a ser así tan desbordante esta situación.
We never thought the situation would get this overwhelming. They need these food stamps so they can use what little money they have for a place to sleep tonight.
Outside, that's exactly what's worrying Zulema Bialba. She arrived in Cúcuta a month ago from Maracay, Venezuela, almost 500 miles away, with her husband and three young children. Bialba shows me the cell phone earbuds the family's selling on Cúcuta's streets in order to eat and pay daily rent for a small room near the airport. But it isn't enough. Wiping away tears, she says she fears they'll soon be sleeping on the street, as thousands of Venezuelans do in Cúcuta.
You abandon your life and your home to come here, and this is what you face. But going home is not an option either.
That's because back in Venezuela, there is even less, or as Bialba puts it,
there is nothing left. No food, no medicine. Even if you can find it, you can't pay for it.
She and her husband decided to leave Venezuela when they noticed their kids were seriously underweight. The average Venezuelan lost 24 pounds last year due to an economic catastrophe caused by collapsed oil prices and years of mismanagement by a dictatorial socialist regime. That humanitarian crisis has launched an epic wave of migrants. By the end of this year, an estimated 3 million people, a tenth of the population, will have left Venezuela since 2015. Most are pouring into neighboring countries like Brazil and especially Colombia. Each day, an endless stream of some 20,000 Venezuelans crosses the Simón Bolívar International Bridge into Cúcuta. Some come for food, then return. Some go on to countries like Ecuador. But about 5,000 of them stay in Cúcuta. Indigent people like Elio Merciet from Barquisimeto, Venezuela. He still sleeps on cardboard every night in a park near the border crossing. What little he earns at odd jobs often gets stolen. I was the last man in my neighborhood to leave the country, Merciet said. If I go back now, my wife and little boy will be ashamed of me.
The most recent people that are coming, they are the worst situations.
Ricardo Supo is a World Food Program coordinator in Cúcuta. He says the condition of the Venezuelans he's seeing now alarms him.
Children with skin disease, with blonde hair, like losing colors and losing hair. I mean, these are the first signs of malnutrition. Now is really the bottom of it. Now is really like the escape of the desperate.
Even so, the UN has not declared that desperate escape from Venezuela a refugee crisis, which could raise its global profile and response. This year, the UN did urge countries receiving Venezuelans to grant them certain refugee safeguards, healthcare, jobs, protection from deportation. But UN officials concede they're at a loss to label this calamity. It's not a refugee emergency driven by natural disaster or war, like Syria's, yet it's far worse than mere economic migration.
I prefer to call it a displacement crisis. We recognize there is a refugee dimension.
Joseph Merckx heads the UN Refugee Agency operations in Colombia. The agency has called on the international community to give almost $50 million to aid Venezuelan refugees. The U.S. has pitched in $2.5 million and will probably give more. But Merckx told WLRN in Bogota only about a third of the UN's goal has been reached so far. So the UN is widening its net and will launch an unusual online fundraising effort so private donors can help Venezuelans.
Opportunity to contribute to a kind of safety net for the more vulnerable.
But expats in South Florida, home to the U.S.'s largest Venezuelan community, argue the U.N. could leverage those funds more easily if it declared this a refugee crisis. Groups like the International Coalition for Venezuela are lobbying hard for it, says expat and Miami paralegal Rafael Moros.
They are fighting to survive over there, doing anything. Girls like 13, 14, 15 in a prostitution. That's something terrible.
As soon as Venezuelan women cross the border into Cúcuta, they're met by men shouting, "Compramos cabello," we'll buy your hair for wig makers. Here, the wig makers pay the Venezuelans a little more than $10 for their hair. That's far less than the market rate in Colombia. But most women accept it because they need the cash. The wig makers know their operation is less than ethical. I tried to video one Colombian woman cutting Venezuelans' hair in the open border plaza, but she summoned a couple of thugs and in a threatening tone ordered me to stop. She was holding scissors, so I complied. Still, Cúcuta is a small city whose own economy has been hurt by neighboring Venezuela's collapse. There are not enough jobs to absorb the refugees, so once the hair cash is spent, many Venezuelan women start walking the streets. Like 19-year-old single mother Jureli Suarez, Colombian police hauled her and several other Venezuelan prostitutes back to the border this month. But Suarez said she'll be back in Cúcuta.
I worked in a bakery in Venezuela, but there wasn't enough money for food. I come back to Cúcuta because it's the only way to fight to help my family now.
But most Venezuelans in Cúcuta are selling other things on the streets, everything from cigarettes to empanadas. Even Junior Aranda and his family, despite their professional credentials.
Petroleos de Venezuela, 3 years in gas plant.
Aranda, from Barinas, Venezuela, is an oil engineer. His wife is a veterinarian, his sister an architect, his aunt a child psychologist. They show me the small, dark, one-bedroom apartment, furnished only with mattresses, where the whole family now lives, 13 people in all. None of them plan to be in Venezuela this Sunday to vote in the presidential election, which most of the international community has dismissed as rigged in favor of the ruling socialists and their disastrous rule. And a footnote about the food stamp program so many Venezuelan families were counting on. The UN has had to suspend it because the crowds were simply too overwhelming. Next week, Escape from Venezuela will look at the role the South Florida diaspora plays in getting aid to the refugees.
I'm Tim Padgett in Cúcuta. Manuel Rueda contributed to this report.
The Latin America Report is made possible by MBAF, CPAs and advisors.